Welcome to week 5 of the fantasy basketball season. I'm Chris Towers here with the Fantasy Basketball Today podcast. Joe Polito.
Hey.
What's up?
Oh, you know, same old, same old. Just on the sports grind, you know?
You know, it is a grind.
It is.
You think about it, basketball season, 25 weeks long. We get that, like, 1 week break during the All-Star break. And other than that, it's a long season.
It's exciting times coming up, though. The Christmas Day.
Yes.
Is, like, very much built into.
Yeah.
The basketball-ness is very much built into my holiday season now.
Yeah, it's always, like, I do Christmas Eve with my wife's family, Christmas with my family. And it's usually just the morning. So by the time we're wrapping up, I'm ready to just watch basketball all day.
Oh, yeah. The Knicks are usually on bright and early.
Yeah,
Everyone's groggy.
The first game's always kind of crappy. It's always like a Bulls game or the Knicks or something.
It's just good for a laugh,
Celtics.
Though. Yeah.
So, no, Christmas coming up. I mean, it's a month away.
I mean,
we've got Thanksgiving.
It's basically
first here.
Black Friday.
We got to stop this. We got to let Thanksgiving breathe.
For real.
We got to stop doing these, you like, Black Friday sales are already happening.
Let's put a month in between November and December, if we could.
I think that makes sense.
Tweet us. Let us know what the name of the 13th month that you would put between those two.
At CTowerCBS, at JoePo89. You can tweet us your suggestions for 13th month. You can tweet us your fantasy basketball questions, obviously.
I'm going to go with Chilltember.
Chilltember. Okay.
It's just when we just take a break. Let's just breathe. There's no holidays. Everyone relax.
I like it. Yeah, you did get that the crunch.
Right.
Thanksgiving's always so stressful.
Yeah. Especially when you got multiple families.
I got like three families now, man.
Speaking of three families, Drew Holiday. I don't know.
That wasn't a great.
No.
Wasn't a great. But Drew Holiday, big news. Drew Holiday's back in action. Played really well in his first two games, 21.5 points, 8 assists, 2 rebounds in those two games. Did come off the bench in both games because Tim Frazier stayed in the starting lineup and.
He actually remained
productive. 14.5 points, 8 assists, 4 rebounds. Tim Frazier looks like he's going to remain productive as long as Drew Holiday is there, at least for the time being. Now, the question becomes whether he can sustain that if and when Tyreek Evans comes back.
Reminds me a little of the Kings scenario right now, too, with Collison coming back. They're like kind of sort of sticking with Lawson in weird ways.
But
now they're going to play small. It's
Frazier's
like,
actually producing, whereas Ty Lawson's been
awful. He's just playing. But you wonder if the Pelicans are that shorthanded where they'll kind of shove out a combo guard type lineup and see what they can do together.
Yeah, I mean, Drew Holiday's big enough and good enough defensively that he can guard twos as well. So they're not, and it's not like they have any better options.
Right. I think we underestimated just how bad that roster is.
Yeah, so, you know, hopefully you held on to Tim Frazier through the end of the week, didn't drop him yet, because it looks like he's going to be, if not as productive as he was for the first month or so of the season, at least still a borderline starting caliber player. Drew Holiday, you can get him back in your lineups across the board. Doesn't matter.
He looks hungry.
I don't care that he's coming off the bench if he's going to keep playing 30 minutes per game. He's their second best player by far. And Tim Frazier might be their third best. So Drew Holiday definitely still staying in your starting lineup. Other big news heading into week 5, Paul George nursing an ankle injury. He has been ruled out for Sunday's game. And that very much puts him in doubt for week 5. Now, it doesn't sound like it's serious enough to cause him to miss a whole week. On the other hand, you look at someone like Will Barton, who has been out basically 3.5 weeks with an ankle injury, and all of a sudden you start to get a little bit concerned. I think Paul George, if we don't get an update before lineups lock on Monday, it's going to be really hard for me to start him.
Yeah, CJ Miles is also dealing with
CJ Miles
stuff,
dealing
so.
With an injury, so you're going to have Glenn Robinson III getting a lot of playing time.
DFS.
I believe Rodney Stuckey is also still sidelined for them, so a lot of injuries on the perimeter for the Indiana Pacers. Derek Favors will be out for, quote, for a while for the Jazz. He's dealing with that left knee injury that just continues to be an issue for him, and it's one that it just doesn't sound like it's going to get better without a decent amount of rest.
Well, he's got all of Chilltember to come back, and then
that would be nice. And so I think Boris Diaw, I'm not sure if he was just benched or if he's hurt, but he hasn't started the last couple of games. Trey Lyles has been in the starting lineup, and he's starting to pick things up. His per-minute production has actually been down from his rookie season when he showed a lot of flashes. The shot has not been there for him this year, but you look at the skill set, and it's a really interesting one, and it's one that fits the Jazz really well if he can start hitting those shots. He shot about 37% from three last year. He's up to 3.8 three-pointers per game in terms of attempts. He's shooting
24%. He's not shooting well, but he's shooting them, and really the threes are the only way that he becomes kind of starting caliber because I mean, he's useful, but he doesn't get blocks or steals because he's not super quick. He's not super tall. He's just kind of skilled. So three-pointers would definitely be the key to his value.
And you look at over the last three games, he has hit three three-pointers. He's taken 13, so that's not a great rate. But
he's wide open.
He's averaging 16.7 points per game over the last three games. He's someone that I definitely think is worth looking into for week five. And the Dallas Mavericks' disastrous season continues.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of amazing how well Harrison Barnes is playing, and how poorly everything else has gone for them. They've had Dirk Nowitzki injuries, Darren Williams injuries, Wesley Matthews still looks like the guy who ruptured his Achilles, and I thought maybe a full year back he might be back to health, but he, as someone tweeted me, he couldn't hit the ocean with a beach ball.
Yeah, and it's kind of, we saw him become valuable with the Blazers where he was shooting a ton and they had this kind of like perfect system in place for him. So you wonder if he'll ever get back to that. But
Ideally, you would think Dallas would be a good place for him. You know, Rick Carlisle has a very good offensive system. He tends to get the most out of players. But Wesley Matthews shooting 31.7% from the field, 30.3% on threes. Not doing enough else to make up for it.
And I think Barnes playing well just kind of speaks to what everyone already thought, where, he can put the ball in the basket, but is he going to lift your team up? Not quite.
Certainly not this team.
Right.
But now they've got J.J. Barea out 6 weeks with a calf injury. Darren Williams still without a timetable as he returns. Somebody named Jonathan Gibson scored 26 points for them. Okay. I believe he's 29 years old. And just scored 26 points for the Mavericks. That's how bad things are going for them right now. It's been a very rough go of things for the Dallas Mavericks. Yeah, that was his second NBA game, and he's 29 years old.
Go Jonathan.
New Mexico State University.
This trend continues. You might need to take a look at him because this team is bad. They scored like 65 points or something the other night.
Seth Curry, someone that is going to be very much worth picking up in fantasy. Shooting the ball extremely poorly right now, but he's averaging about 4 assists per game over the last 5.
I think that's why you want to go ahead and sneakily grab him right now, because he's not necessarily a true point guard distributor type, but
he played well last year with the Kings as the season ran out, averaged like 16 and 5 in the last month.
So he gets that 3-point percentage back up, and he's getting the majority of the minutes. He's going to be 30 minutes a game at least for the next month.
There's always opportunities on bad teams. We see that with the Nets right now. We see that with the Heat right now.
Whoa, the Heat are on a 2-game winning streak, sir.
It's true.
After, I will not have
a 6-game losing streak.
Hassan Whiteside told you in the interview, man. They played good teams.
That's true.
They played all playoff teams.
He dropped 18-18 in his most recent game.
Hassan is so crazy because it's like, he hasn't done anything the whole first half, and then he's in for 5 minutes and gets like 8 blocks and 10 rebounds. And they're like, okay, his stats bounce back.
Yeah, the Mavericks, there's going to be plenty of opportunities there. Believe Mark Stein reported that the team could begin looking to move veterans soon. That would probably be Andrew Bogut, Darren Williams.
What's up with Dirk, man? What do you think?
Dirk's got the Achilles injury. There's no way they trade him, obviously.
What's weird. It's like you want him to like free Dirk, but he's not exactly
right now. He's almost 40.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard for him to get healthy. Achilles injuries are really rough. It's just a strain right now, and he could be back in week 5, but it's a tough situation for him. It's a tough situation for the team. But you do want to start looking at guys like Justin Anderson, Dwight Powell, who might have an opportunity if they do decide to move towards younger guys.
Seems like they're going to have no choice and come.
Things have gone poor. Are 2-10 now, I believe.
They don't look good.
They're bad. Let's move on to the waiver wire heading into week 5. And the top two guys for me are guys who are probably not available in most of your leagues. They are Tyreek Evans at 83% owned and Will Barton at 77% owned. I'm including them. We usually don't go with guys that highly owned. But these are guys who can make a big difference for you. And if they're available, that means they're available in a couple thousand leagues at least. So somebody out there. There's a league where Tyreek Evans isn't owned. You got to go get him. That's 1 in 5 leagues, and You know, it sounds like he's in pretty good shape. He's working his way back. The official timetable is still mid-December, but we've heard, even if it's mid-December, that's 3 weeks. And we've heard some kind of talk that he could be back in the next week or two, even. So, Tarik Evans definitely has the ability to be a difference maker for fantasy. Yeah. Averaged 15, 6, and 5 last year before getting hurt. And that was with him playing really poorly, actually, because he was hurt.
And even if he comes back, he's slow. They, you know, rest him sometimes. He's kind of a guy worth sticking on the end of your bench because come fantasy playoff time, you know, when he gets that solid month of run in, he's going to be very useful.
Will Barton also hurt coming back from the ankle injury. He's day-to-day at this point, but Gary Harris is out for 3 to 4 weeks with a foot injury. They've been starting Jameer Nelson as shooting guard. So Will Barton could get a lot of run whenever he's able to come back. So that's going to be good for him. What do you think of the way Deion Waiters is playing for the Heat?
You know, it seems like fool's gold, but Jess Winslow hasn't been playing, so they've been kind of going with this like smaller lineup with playing at least two, maybe three undersized guards at a time. And I don't know. I don't think I'd buy it for fantasy. He's hitting some threes, I guess, which is like
he's 54% owned.
Yeah, I wouldn't be rushing to get him.
He is averaging 16.2 points per game over the last five. However, he's needed 17.2 shots per game.
He does a lot of frustrating things, and they are, you know, that's the typical Deion story. It's just he's on a team that he's one of the better players on now. So
you look at the two good games that he's had over the last five. He scored 27 last Monday against the Spurs and 23 against the Bucks last Thursday. He needed 22 shots to get 23 points and 26 shots to get 27 points.
I would rather have Josh Richardson or Tyler Johnson than him.
Just I would too.
They know how to pass the ball, and they got this kind of like free moving ball movement system right now. And Deion was sort of buying in, but then the last couple of games I've been seeing him do the hero thing.
Yeah,
a little too often.
He's 54% owned. He's putting up numbers. I think he's worth a look.
At least
for the time being, with Justice Winslow out.
Right.
Cody Zeller. Over the last four, he missed Saturday's game, I believe, with a shoulder injury, but it doesn't sound serious. Averaging 12.3 points, 5.8 rebounds, 1.3 blocks per game over the last four. Cody Zeller, 39% owned. If you need some help at the center position, he can provide a little bit.
He's interesting. I mean, I kind of wish he was a little more like confident and like kind of demanded touches and stuff, because he's really athletic, and they could use that kind of thing. But you know, if you need blocks at a cheap source, that's definitely where you'd go.
And he's pretty efficient. He's a good enough free throw shooter, 74% for his career, shooting 62% from the field this season. So that's all really good to see from Cody Zeller. Trey Lyles, we already talked about, 16.7 points, 5.3 rebounds, 3 3-pointers over his last three games. John Henson getting a little more playing time. We're actually going to have to talk about Greg Monroe.
What's going on there? Jason Kidd.
Jason Kidd.
doing his thing.
Jason Kidd said that he only wants to play two centers right now because it's been hard to balance three, and that means that one of John Henson, Miles Plumlee, or Greg Monroe is out of the picture, and somehow it's Greg Monroe. I don't know if that's a more damning indictment of Jason Kidd or Greg Monroe.
I think it's also just the way their roster is made up. They got a lot of rangy guys, so they just sort of have this identity where Giannis does whatever he wants, and they try and get buckets that way, whereas Monroe is much more of a traditional big man.
Very traditional.
And they don't have floor spacers at all. I mean, maybe the worst three-point shooting team in the league, just off the top of my head.
Probably. So, I mean, they've got a lot of guys who can almost reach the rim from the three-point line.
Yeah, dunking from the three-point line might become an option for them soon. But, Henson's the kind of guy that doesn't need a ton of minutes to produce. You do have to wonder how consistently he'll get over 22 minutes, something like that.
But he's the kind of guy that if he gets 22 minutes
per game, he can get three blocks easily in 22 minutes.
Last season, he averaged 17 minutes per game, 1.9 blocks per game. The year before that, 18 minutes per game, 2 blocks per game. So the question is, can he first, one, stay healthy and stay in the rotation? Because he's had a lot of stretches where he just falls out of the rotation, and it's kind of... We've seen this a lot from Jason Kidd. He's a pretty...
he's moody, right?
He's moody, and he's very malleable, I think is the right word. He's willing to change his style, change his rotation if things aren't working. He takes a lot of chances. He'll change things up, which is a pretty good strategy for a coach to have. It's terrible for fantasy. The only thing that's worse than being bad is being unpredictable. And the Bucks have some talent. It's just you don't know when you're going to be able to rely on those guys. So it makes John Henson kind of a fringier guy.
But even of the three, you know, Plumlee, Henson, Monroe even.
Yeah.
Plumlee, Henson's got the most, you know, well-rounded fantasy skill set, because he can offensive board. He'll shoot a high percentage from the field because all he does is dunk. And, you know, he's real rangy to get blocks. So
let's see if Greg Monroe gets bandied about in trade rumors. I don't know who would want him.
Yeah, his contract isn't super friendly.
That's the problem. Langston Galloway, another guy who is playing exceptionally well right now for the Pelicans, averaging 15.2 points, 3.4 rebounds, 1.6 assists, 1.6 steals. I think over 2 3-pointers per game over the last five as well. Only 7% owned. Someone who definitely should be on your fantasy radar. And like I said, Jonathan Gibson, 18.5 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists per game over the last two. I don't know if there's anything here long term, but you have a game like that, I'll take notice. Yeah.
He is a whopping 0% owned, so available in all leagues.
Very much available. Let's look at the most added players in CBSSports.com leagues over the last week. The number one player, Wilson Chandler, up from 59% to 80%. He's been playing really well, benefiting from the Nuggets' two-guard situation, and actually kind of benefiting from their weird center position.
Also benefiting from having a healthy lower body, which is sort of
that helps.
Been his hamstrings and whatnot. Kind of the nagging injuries have always been the story with him. But yeah, when he's in the lineup and doing his thing, he's, you know, there aren't a lot of small forwards that can do what he does for such a low price.
Double-digit rebounds in 3 of his last 4 since coming back from his latest time off, 25 points in his last 2. Filling up the box score nicely, 80% sounds low at this point for Wilson Chandler.
Yeah, you got to have him while he's healthy.
Patrick Beverley up to 36%. He's 19% up. The only player above 20% is Wilson Chandler this week in terms of percent of leagues added. And Patrick Beverley has done some pretty Patrick Beverley things so far in the first two games.
6 assists in that last game, I'm telling you. 6 assists in the last game. D'Antoni Boost knows no bounds.
5 points only, but 3 blocks in the first game.
Three steals in the second.
You're going to get some 3-pointers from him. So I think Patrick Beverley, 36% owned, that's a little low.
In your category leagues, you know, you're looking for defensive stats, 3-pointers. Like, don't picture Patrick Beverley like you would, you know, an assist guy or anything like that.
Yeah, it doesn't have a ton of value in your head-to-head points.
No, but, you know, just for there's a lot of possessions on that team and not a lot of defense other than Trevor Ariza being played, so Patrick Beverley is going to do some things.
A couple of the other guys, Mo Harkless up 17% to 56, Seth Curry's up to 43%, John Luehr is up to 38% from 23, and Trey Lyles, like we talked about. A couple of these guys we've already talked about. We'll just mention John Luehr. He's a kind of interesting, stretchy, playmaking-y four. He's got 3+ assists in 3 of his last 4 games, 6 rebounds or more in each of his last 5, double-digit scoring in 3 of 5. He's a kind of interesting pickup right now.
Would you rather have him or Cody Zeller?
It depends what I'm looking for, I guess. If I need blocks, I'd rather have Zeller. If I need free field goal percentage, I'd rather have Zeller. But if I'm looking for some shooting and some playmaking and maybe some rebounds as well, I might go with John Luehr.
They seem like not similar players, but just similarly, it's hard to categorize them because they're just like tall and good at weird things.
Yeah. Let's go to some mailbag questions from Twitter. First one, at Bobby Hare. Thoughts on Dwight Howard's value rest of the season? Thought he was a big value on draft day. I agree. He's someone that kind of gets anybody.
It's a bit of a bad rap.
Yeah, anybody that's old and doesn't have a lot of apparent upside tends to get a little undervalued in fantasy. But you know, then you look at his production. And it's 14.4 points, 12.8 rebounds, 1.4 assists, 3.2 combined steals and blocks.
He's close to 50% from the free throw line.
Sort of. I mean, he's going to be in that 48 to 50% range at this point. You know,
there are worse shooters.
The days of him being a passable 60% free throw shooter are long gone, but he's not Andre Drummond at least.
And they seem to be sort of, you know, he's only averaging 28 minutes a game, which is great for that free throw number. But he's not. They're not dumping the ball into him. He's not having to shoot as much as he usually would, like some of the other people who are terrible at it.
I would expect more scoring from him than 14.4 points per game. I think that's gone down as the season's gone on, and you know that'll happen when you have when you're 11 games in, you have a couple of bad games. All of a sudden, that tends to skew things. He's only scored 10 or 11 points in each of his last three. I think that'll go up. I think Dwight Howard will be in head-to-head points league, definitely a starting solid starting caliber, borderline number one type of center, and in Roto, a solid number two center.
Hope his back stays healthy.
At Spen Red, should I hit the panic button on Marvin Williams? I don't think so. I think he's doing pretty much Marvin Williams-y things. He's kind of... Marvin Williams is someone who's not obviously valuable. You know, nothing about him jumps off the page. But his production is mostly the same as last year. He's just not shooting the ball well. And I'm not worried about that. You know, for me, it's...
The minutes and the role are still there.
Yeah. The defensive production's not there. So that is a concern because last year he did have the best defensive season of his career. Averaged one block per game, 0.7 steals per game. That's down.
He kind of does need those to achieve his full value.
But even then, you know, he's averaging... He's got, I think, four blocks in 12 games. That's five blocks in 12 games. If he had seven more blocks, he'd be right where he was last year. So it's kind of... Not really a big concern for me. Right now, it's the shooting. 32.6% from the field, 33.8% from three. I think that'll turn around.
Yeah, I mean, the threes aren't bad. You're getting two threes a game from them, yeah. So that'll help you a little bit.
Definitely not cutting Marvin Williams, for sure. Next question, at RapsFan1237. In a standard nine category, he has an excess of big men. He needs threes. He's looking to trade Pau Gasol. Who should he target? Thinks he can get Eric Gordon.
Okay.
I would probably aim a little higher than Eric Gordon if I'm trading Pau Gasol, but that's mostly because I know Pau Gasol's a big name, and I think there might still be value. I'm not sure Pau Gasol's going to be better than Eric Gordon for the rest of the season, though.
Yeah, no, and it's tough to find that fit if you're like targeting a category like that. You know, because like Mike Conley's hitting, you know, two threes a game. If you're looking for that kind of volume, he's obviously good at other things, so you're not going to get him for a Pau Gasol.
I would.
It all started in the backyard.
Woo!
I would look to trade Rodney Hood. See if I can get Rodney Hood for
that's
him.
A good one.
See if I could get Zach LaVine for him. See maybe shoot.
What about Ryan Anderson?
Ryan Anderson would be a good one, or Evan Fournier as well. Last one at the Caleb Hundley. Is Alan Williams worth owning, or only when Tyson Chandler's out? There's been some really deep, big performances lately on some of these bad teams. Alan Williams of the Suns.
Double doubles.
Yeah, he's got double doubles in consecutive games. Before that, he had played 6 minutes in his previous three with the Suns, so not exactly a ton of consistent playing time there. But, you know, if Tyson Chandler remains out, he's out with a personal issue. If he remains out, Alan Williams is someone who could be worth looking at. But I would guess because Tyson Chandler isn't hurt, he'll probably be back relatively soon. And that'll end Alan Williams, because then you got to figure he's behind Chandler, he's behind Len, he's behind Marquise Chris, he's behind Jared Dudley at the four. And it's just going to be hard for him to get playing time unless this team really
something's
got
to happen on the Suns to
yeah
to,
unless this team
make
really
them easier to read.
It's not that they're not talented; they're kind of like the Magic.
They got a lot of random players.
Yeah, they've got a lot of guys who
might
like,
be good on separate
individually
teams.
I like, and then it's like, can we get Jared Dudley on a good team? Let's round up some of the rest of the injuries, news, and notes before we get to the Wake 5 schedule breakdown. Gary Harris, like we said, out 4 weeks with a foot injury. I believe it's a midfoot sprain. Will not require surgery, but he will be off his feet. Jay Crowder and Al Horford returned from their respective injuries on Saturday. Al Horford played very well in his return. So
good, to see. Go get him, Al.
Justice Winslow, that's the wrist that he hurt is his shooting wrist as well. So that's a concern for someone who's such a great shooter.
Chris, the Heat slander continues.
Suns say they have not looked into trading Brandon Knight. I would guess they will at some point if they haven't. Mike Malone had this to say about Nikola Jokic. You guys got to understand, he's not going to be the same player he was last year.
Woof.
That's not what we want to hear. And no. His reasoning was not that Nikola Jokic isn't good. Obviously, he likes him. He's his coach. His reasoning was that last year they had so many injuries. They had so many guys out. They were just relying on the young guys, and they were able to just throw the ball to Jokic a bunch of times per game, let him run the offense, create around him, and in a way that they're not able to when they have, you know, Wilson Chandler there.
A lot of ball-dominant guys, including the other big man.
Exactly. And so there's more mouths to feed, and it's beginning to look more and more like Jokic is just going to be a bust. I can't give up on him because of the upside he showed last year.
You spent a lot on him, so you're not exactly dropping him yet, but I mean, it does seem like he's only viewed as a role player, which is not great.
Like we said earlier, Greg Monroe has played just 9 minutes in the last three games. That's just a tough situation. I want to say hang on to Greg Monroe, but if you're in a 10-team league, especially if you're in a 10-team roto league, especially where all he's really getting you is points, rebounds, maybe some assists,
a little bit,
he might be droppable. You know, I'm just not sure Greg Monroe has that much value that it's worth owning. I mean, in 12-team or deeper, there are a few enough centers
to hope, but doesn't seem like it's going to happen.
Yeah. Thunder are interested in trading for Rudy Gay, according to ESPN's Zach Lowe. I think that's been kind of an open secret. And, you know, Victor Oladipo's starting to turn things around. I believe he has 51 points and 11 assists over the last two games. That's been nice to see. But it can be a tough situation going to play next to Russell Westbrook. It's not as easy as we kind of tend to assume. And so, you know, I'm not sure that would be good for Rudy Gay's value.
No, and I don't think it would be good for anyone on the Thunder's value.
Yeah, I mean, depending on who they give up. Week 5 schedule breakdown, 20 teams play 4 times, 8 teams play 3 times. They include Brooklyn, Boston, Cleveland, Milwaukee, New York, Sacramento, Toronto, and Washington. So you're probably going to play most of those guys. The ones that you really have to look at, Chicago and Utah only play twice. This is always a frustrating situation because you've got some really big names on those teams. You've got Jimmy Butler, Gordon Hayward, Rajon Rondo, Dwayne Wade, Rudy Gobert, Derek Favors, Rodney Hood. I look at these teams, and they've got the worst schedules, obviously. They actually play some pretty good matchups. Chicago at Denver and at Philadelphia, Utah versus Denver versus Atlanta. But it's just...
2 times is not enough times.
I think you're starting Jimmy Butler in most leagues. I think you're probably starting Gordon Hayward in most leagues. I think you're probably starting Rudy Gobert in Roto because you can probably still get, you know, even in 2 games, you could probably still get 6 blocks and, you know, 25 rebounds from him and good enough percentages that you're going to be okay. But, you know, even Hayward, as productive as he is, you know, 19 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists per game, he's struggling to shoot right now. His shot is not there. And with 2 games on the schedule, if he has 1 bad shooting game, you know, if he struggles against Atlanta, that can kind of ruin your week.
And when you got, you know, if you have like a Dario Saric who's sort of picking up his play and he plays 4 times versus, you know, a Dwayne Wade or somebody who, it's basically the math is just not there for these games.
I think with those, it's just the only ones I'm considering are Butler, Hayward, and Gobert in Roto. Everyone else, I think you have to sit. The best schedules in the week come from Minnesota, who plays Boston, at New Orleans, at Phoenix, and at Golden State. That should be 4 very fast-paced games, and probably 4 pretty bad defenses. Boston especially has been bad this season. We'll see if that gets better now that they finally, I think for the first time, have everybody healthy. And Orlando has a good schedule. At Milwaukee, Phoenix, Washington, and then Milwaukee again. You know, seeing a little bit of flashes of life from Serge Ibaka of late, but it's just, that's still a tough team to trust. You know, they just don't fit. You know, the interesting pieces don't all fit together in Orlando, and it's...
I hope we have a very active trade season.
There's a lot where, like, if we just had, like, if we were able to make the decisions, I think the NBA would make much more sense. If we were just able to put everyone together where we want to, like a puzzle, the NBA would be way better. What do you think of that, Joe?
Yeah. I like that.
Okay.
Just one big team, yeah. The entire league.
Let's do it.
I'm down with that.
All right. That's going to do it for the Week 5 Fantasy Basketball Preview. Joe, thank you.
Anytime, Chris.
Just Sunday.
Nah, let's do it again in an hour.
Just Sunday.
We'll see what's changed.
One time on Sunday, right around 3 o'clock. Not anytime. But we will be back again this week. Probably, I'm going to shoot for two times this week.
All right.
Let's see if we can do it. Schedule's
two-star week for the podcast.
All right. Thanks so much for listening. We'll
see you. Bye, guys.